When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in, third and final hour of the program for Tuesday morning. And of course, you've got South Coast Now coming up after this show with Chris McCarthy and then Bill O'Reilly, and then Barry's back today. Barry has a couple of very interesting articles at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, including how much Diana DeSoglio, the state auditor, found in her deep dive looking into public benefits fraud. So I'm sure he'll be talking about that on his program coming up later on this afternoon, but the number is pretty astounding. But that's, I like what the auditor has been doing since coming into office. For something that, how much did you really hear about the auditor's office before this? But we've got something happening all the time out of that office that benefits you, the taxpayer. So it's good to see so much activity happening from the auditor's office, because that's ensuring that your tax dollars are working properly for you. Speaking of your tax dollars at work, there will be a police presence at the Dartmouth Carnival beginning on Thursday. The carnival will happen from May 2nd through the 12th. I exchanged emails with Chief Brian Levesque on yesterday after the show, because some of you had questions regarding how this new policy on minors was going to be enforced, and who was responsible for it, and would the police be involved in that? And so I just sent some of those concerns over to Chief Levesque, and he wrote back and said, you know, the carnival staff will be responsible for all of that. They will have the command center for the busy nights for the police, but that they're not involved in how they're going to be operating the carnival. I'm still seeing, you know, during the news, I go and I check more comments, because there's more comments every time I look. And it's still kind of split down the middle between people who are upset about this, the idea that no one under 18 can go to this carnival without an adult. And people seem to be more upset about that than upset about the one adult can only watch four people. Can only watch four kids. I thought that would be more of a sticking point for folks. I thought they would be more upset about the fact that if they were going to bring more than four kids, they would need more than one adult. Because again, you know, your kids want to bring their friends or their cousins, or maybe you've got five kids and you're a single parent or any of that stuff. You would think like that seems like a unreasonable, like if I'm a parent of five kids, if I'm a single parent of five kids, And I can bring those five kids to a store, to a restaurant, to the mall, to an amusement park, to the zoo. Why would you think I can't bring those five kids to the Dartmouth Carnival? And granted, there's not, I'm sure, less families these days that have five kids and one parent, but still, I'm thinking that there's more people that will be upset about that. But no, it's there seems to have been a lot of people that wanted their children to be able to go to that carnival without adult supervision. Which is leading to the other half of the comments of people saying, good, I'm glad they put this in place. The kids shouldn't be allowed to run around on their own. And honestly, as much as I love Fiesta shows and all the work that they do, I kind of side with those people where a carnival should be a place where kids, you know, reasonable. Don't let a 10, 11, 12-year-old run around on their own. But teenagers, 13, especially 14, 15, 16, those kids should be able to go around on their own. Those kids should be able to not have to have their parents right next to them the whole time while they're at a carnival. They should be able to go in a friend group. Now, the other side of that coin is the people who are against it say, you know, the people who are for this policy say, I wouldn't feel this way if people did a better job of raising their kids. I wouldn't feel this way if people took responsibility and taught their kids to take responsibility. But I think that that's a blanket statement that we make because we zero in on the bad and ignore the good. That's why I get upset when somebody calls in and says, well, you know, that's just how kids are these days. No, there's a lot of kids who are good kids these days, just like there were a lot of kids who were bad kids when you were a kid. So you can't paint with that broad brush when there are good kids, good 15, 16-year-old kids that should be able to walk around a carnival on their own. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Sackios.
How you doing?
Good. You know, you're talking about chaperoning kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did anybody ever think, when you got the school field trip, how many, when parents go as chaperones, how many kids do they supervise? They supervise more than four.
Yeah, you might have like 30, 40 kids with two or three adults.
You know, because I've gone to a lot of, my kids were in grammar school. We went to a lot of field trips. And I was, matter of fact, in grammar school, at Swiss School, near Mr. Innes, took all the kids up to the museum, the science museum in Boston. We even rented a coach for them to go. And we, you know, the parents can take care. They used to give us probably about seven. Don't they think the parents can take care of the kids?
I would think so.
Have you ever thought about that? Why are they letting the kids be supervised by so many, you know, one parent with seven kids? Why couldn't, there's people out there that can do that. Nobody thought of that, did they?
I don't know why they picked four as the number. I don't know if that, you know, maybe this was, again, this could have been something that was worked out with their insurance company or maybe no, this was something they worked out with Weymouth Police or something.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying that when you're talking about supervising kids, a parent has got the responsibility when they're going to bring the kids. I know that what they're thinking. I mean, I know it's a hard world out there. But you can't punish the good because of the bad. That's all.
All right.
But they do it in school field trips.
Yeah.
And they have no problems. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. I mean, I can tell you growing up, I wasn't, you know, the most well-behaved kid. I was kind of a little rambunctious troublemaker. And there were five kids in my family. And we went out with one parent all the time. Probably more so with my dad than my mom. Usually it would be because, you know, if my mom was home, we would wait for my, you know, like say I got home from school and we had to go somewhere. We'd wait for my dad to get home from work before we would all go. But if my mom was at work, my dad would have no problem being like, all right, everybody, let's get in the car. We're going to the store. We're going to do this, whatever. So, and that's just, you know, the nature of my parents. My mom likes to do things together, as everybody, together. So she'll wait to do it. My dad will just do it when it needs to get done. So we would go, especially on weekends. My mom worked weekends. She worked Friday nights and Saturdays. And on a Saturday, we would never sit at home. We would go out, and my sisters had dancing school in Brockton. We'd go there. My dad would take us all to the store, to the mall or whatever afterward. Never a problem with having five kids, and one of them being me, which was probably not easy. So parents that are doing the job correctly can certainly keep an eye on more than four kids, but that's the number that they picked. 508-996-0500, you're next on WBSM.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. So here's my thing. I don't understand putting rules together that they're not going to be able to enforce. But what are they going to do if a parent drops off five kids? Or if a parent shows up with five kids? Well, one show up with five kids. Are you going to send one kid home? Are you going to send a parent home? And what if the parent drops off the five kids and the kids are then found to be without a parent?
Well,
what are they going to do? Are they going to wait until a parent arrives to pick up the kids? What if the parent takes 2 hours to pick up the kids? Are they going to put the kids outside?
Well, it's outside anyway.
No, oh, right. Okay, so are they going to put them outside of the boundaries of the carnival?
Yes. So
I guess what I'm getting at is, what are the repercussions if this happens? And are they ready to put all these people in a fenced-in area, whatever it is that they're planning to do?
So they... According to the policy, they're going to be checking IDs to get into the carnival. So if you're coming in, you can't just drop the kids off and have them get into the carnival because there's an admission gate. So to get through the admission gate, they have to be with somebody who is over 18, and they have to go into the fenced-in area with them. And then if that person is not with them during the course of the time that they're in there, they can have you removed. It says right in the rules that if you are not in compliance with this, they will remove you from the carnival.
So they're going to remove you and put you outside the boundaries of the carnival. And the kids are just going to loiter outside in the parking lot.
Yeah. I mean that's been going on since they've had these carnivals in the parking lot. They fence it in so that you have to pay admission to get in. It's not like, you know, in the old days, I remember going to carnivals where you just walked right up to it and you just bought tickets if you wanted to ride, but otherwise you could walk around otherwise. They want to charge you $5 just to walk around and look at the rides and look at the games. There's no food to buy because they don't let you have food. They want you to go in the mall and buy food. So it's a little bit, you know, of a strange situation, but you are fenced in. So when I went there last year just to work on a story, there was a whole bunch of people that were outside that were just hanging around out there because they didn't want to pay $5 to get in, but they're like standing on the fence talking to their friend that's inside. So I think they know that that's going to happen.
Right. I just don't see that this will be enforced. Well, maybe it will.
And that's the other question that people have is, will it be enforced, or is this just, you know, trying to have a bit of a deterrent to try to keep the troublemakers from coming in? And then really, once this is ongoing, will they actually enforce it, or will they let it be the way that it's always been?
Right. And ultimately, I think the troublemakers, unfortunately, are going to be troublemakers. They're not the ones that are walking in with parents and then parents leaving.
Right. And the thing about...
Back to the gentleman who called and said, you know, penalizing all the good kids for the few bad kids, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we're talking about kids that might be 2 months away from being grown adults.
True.
At age 18.
Yeah, you could be 17 years old and on the verge of being 18 and want to go on a date and or hang out with your friends, and they're going to tell you no. They're going to turn you away at the gate.
It seems a little ridiculous, but that's my opinion.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
Have a good day. And the question of enforcement. So a lot of times rules like this, guidelines like this are put in place, not because they want to enforce them at the outset, but because they want to have them in place in case of the need to enforce them. So they might not stand there. And it says in the policy, may be subject to showing identification. Doesn't say will definitely have to show identification. So that could mean, it could mean that I'm going to walk up to the gate. I obviously look over 18. So I'm not an issue. They're going to just let me in. Somebody who's on the verge, you know, like, oh, this kid 18. I mean, he's got a mustache, but I mean, like maybe like that kind of a situation. Also, it could just be a simple case of they're not going to do any of this until they have to. So if a group of kids goes in and doesn't have an adult with them, and again, I'm not saying like don't bet on this. And I'm going to try to get somebody from Fiesta Shows to come on for a few minutes to try to really hammer some of this down instead of just going back and forth over messages with them. But it's just, it's hard because they're out running these carnivals, so they don't always have somebody in the office type situation. But let's just say a group of four 16-year-olds goes in and doesn't do anything wrong. Maybe they let them in and they don't do anything wrong. But then another group of four 16-year-olds goes in and one of them causes trouble, or all four, whatever. There's an incident. They have now, with this policy in place, the right to go over and grab those kids and say, you've got to leave. So that could be what this is about, is it could be enforcement when necessary. But the other side of that is, if you do handle it in that manner, if you do say, we'll let them in as long as they don't cause trouble, then we're going to have to ask them to leave. Then it turns into, well, I have to ask the troublemaking group of 16-year-olds to leave. Can they make the argument, well, you're not making that group of 16-year-olds leave. You let them stay and not me. And does that create an issue? So again, I think this policy is more deterrence than anything. They're basically just trying to say, let's see if we can get as many of these kids supervised as possible. We put this rule out there. Hopefully parents show up with their kids. And if you go into the carnival with your four kids and your kids are 12, 13, 14, 15, and they go off on their own and you go over and you say, I'm just going to go play, shoot the water gun into the clown's mouth until the balloon pops game. And you're over there playing your game, and the kids are all going off on rides. You don't want to go on rides. You don't feel like, you know, getting sick. So you're over there playing games. They're off on the rides. Do I really think that the carnival employees are going to grab those kids and say, all right, you're not with your father, your mother, you're out of here? I think as long as they're not causing trouble, it'll be fine. However, the rule is in place that you must be with those kids at all times. So if something does happen, they have the right now, because you agreed upon this policy by entering. See, that's the other thing too, is there's all this misconception that people have about what your freedoms are. We went through this last year with the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament, when they decided to put up fencing and have people go through security checkpoints to enter the feast grounds. You can't stop me from entering the feast grounds. You can't stop me from carrying my weapon onto the feast grounds. I've done it for years. I've carried my gun at the feast for years. I'm not going there if I can't carry my gun. You can't stop me. I have a license to carry. It's my Second Amendment right. I took those phone calls last year. And the bottom line is, it's their private property. The feast grounds belong to the club. The carnival is on Dartmouth Mall property. If they want to install those rules, then they can. So you are agreeing by attending to go by their rules. And the fact that you are paying to get in is part of that, you know, that silent contract. Not just that you're entering, but you're actually paying to get in. That adds an extra layer of agreement. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on the radio, but I know that much. So if you go in and break one of those rules and they say, okay, you have to leave, you have to leave. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here. We'll be back in a few.
Party people! And my man Steve Rowland, we're kicking the flow.
We're kicking the flow.
And it goes a little something like this. Tag team, back again. Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. DC's in the house, jump, jump, rejoices. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah. These three words mean you're getting busy. Whoop, that is Hitman.
You all should see Phil Devitt shaking himself. He's shaking his butt over there. I remember the Beavis and Butthead commentary during that song. They're like talking about how it is the butt. And so they're like, whoop, there's my butt. Whoop, there's my butt. That's all I can think of when I hear that song. Anyway, it's time to go now into the newsroom and get all of the headlines of the day from Phil Devitt. Take it away, Phil.
Four officers are dead after a North Carolina shootout. Trump's hush money trial resumes in New York. And a streaming service raising prices ahead of the Olympics.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Four law enforcement officers are dead and at least four others injured after a shootout in Charlotte, North Carolina. Governor Roy Cooper spoke out in support of the law enforcement community.
We just need to reflect and thank these people who work in public safety and to tell them how much you appreciate them.
Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Chief Johnny Jennings says the officers were part of a fugitive task force serving a warrant at a home on Monday when a suspect opened fire. That suspect was killed, but another person inside the home soon started firing. After the gunfire ended, two others inside the home were taken into custody for questioning. Witness testimony resumes today in the criminal hush money trial involving former President Donald Trump in New York. Scott Pringle reports.
Bank account executive Gary Farrow will continue on the stand. Last week, Farrow testified that he helped former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen set up a bank account. That account, prosecutors say, was used for a shell company that Trump used to pay off adult film star Stormy Daniels. Trump's lawyers have not yet cross-examined Farrow. Trump is accused of falsifying business records and trying to silence Daniels over alleged affairs before the 2016 election. Trump denies the affair and has pleaded not guilty. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
A Columbia University pro-Palestinian student group claims it's occupying an academic building on campus. Columbia Students for Justice in Palestine posted on X that dozens of students are now occupying Hamilton Hall in protest of what it calls the university's complicity in genocide. A 16-year-old who allegedly fired a gun in a shootout at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl victory rally will soon find out if he'll be tried as an adult. The teen is charged with felony unlawful use of a weapon in the February incident that saw one woman killed and more than 20 injured. He's expected in court for a hearing today. Today is the deadline for some student borrowers to get debt canceled by consolidating their federal loans. Tammy Trujillo has the details.
The Department of Education is making this one-time payment adjustment. It's part of the Biden administration's effort to forgive nearly $5 billion in student loans. You can check to see if you're eligible at studentaid.gov. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And NBC Universal's Peacock streaming service will see a price hike just before the Summer Olympics. The monthly subscription fee for Peacock Premium will jump $2 to $7.99 starting July 18th for new subscribers. Meanwhile, the price for the mostly ad-free Peacock Premium Plus will go up to $13.99 a month.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics beat the Heat in Game 4, 102-88. Boston leading the series 3-1 heading into Game 5 with Miami on Wednesday. Tonight, it's Game 5 for the Boston Bruins and Toronto Maple Leafs. Boston leading 3-1. Game at TD Garden at 7. And the Red Sox host the San Francisco Giants tonight at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A backdoor cold front responsible for a spot shower or two this morning with gray skies, overcast around 50, mostly cloudy. This afternoon in the mid-50s with a light southeasterly breeze, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overnight showers will develop in the mid-40s, and then for tomorrow we'll continue with these gray skies, mid-50s with a chance for showers. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
KHJ Los Angeles.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Of course, that's Everclear's AM radio, which even that song is outdated. That song's from 2000, from the Songs from an American Movie Volume 1. Great album. But that song is already outdated with its references. You know, it's talking about the good old days of listening to the AM radio, but it's referencing new technology such as the VCR and the DVD. Calls the internet the World Wide Web. Nobody really says that anymore. Nobody really called it the web. People still say that, but it's like, stop doing that. Nobody says that. And then walking in style with a portable CD player. Who has that anymore, right? People don't even have iPods anymore. So this, all of this is getting to a point. Even though all of that technology we may look at is outdated, the AM radio is still here. It's still alive. It's still vibrant. You know you're listening every day, although you can also listen to us on 99.5 FM as well. But we just got some breaking news delivered to the inbox from the office of Senator Ed Markey, who we had on my program when I was on back in at 9 a.m. But we had Senator Markey on to talk about this last year. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. So basically, Senator Markey has been working with Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, so a bipartisan effort, to keep AM radios in new vehicles because apparently electric car manufacturers were not including AM radios. Some said it was because it was unnecessary. Nobody listens to AM radio. People want to connect their devices. People want to have internet capability in the car. People want to stream. They don't want to listen to AM radio. It's not necessary. Others were saying that the AM radio actually caused interference with some of the electrical systems of the car, to which Senator Markey's response was, well, how come some car manufacturers, some electric vehicle manufacturers put it in and you don't? So basically the idea was that they felt the need to have AM radios in vehicles for its emergency purposes. And this is a quote that comes from Senator Markey and Cruz together. Democrats and Republicans are tuning in to the millions of listeners, thousands of broadcasters, and countless emergency management officials who depend on AM radio in their vehicles. AM radio is the lifeline for people in every corner of the United States to get news, sports, and local updates in time of emergencies. Our common sense bill makes sure this fundamental, essential tool doesn't get lost on the dial. And because of the numbers, which I'll give you in a moment, with a filibuster-proof supermajority in the Senate, Congress should quickly take it up and pass it. So they've got 60 senators on board, bipartisan, 60 senators on board with passing this act. and which would require an AM radio to be put in every new vehicle that's built. And in the House, the legislation has 246 co-sponsors. So the numbers are there. The numbers, they're going to be able to push this through. They've just got to take it up. But again, bipartisan effort. We're talking about, you know, not just Democrats like Ed Warren, Liz Markey, Sherrod Brown. Trying to see some of the other names you would expect to find on something like this. Amy Klobuchar. We're talking Republicans, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, Josh Hawley, Katie Britt. Katie Britt, who was probably like, I should stick to radio and not do television after that response to the State of the Union address and the way that that went over. Dick Blumenthal is on here. I'm trying to see who else is on here. Kirsten Gillibrand. Lindsey Graham is on here. Chuck Grassley. So, I mean, we're talking about some heavy hitters on both sides of the aisle in support of keeping AM radio in cars. So now they've just got to take it up. And if it passes, then it'll be a requirement that all new vehicles manufactured will have to have AM radio at no extra charge, by the way. So it can't be a matter of, well, we're going to put the AM radio in and now we're going to upcharge the vehicle. Because as you know, if you ever bought a car brand new, you know that you paid for that radio one way or another, right? They would do that thing where, well, We can give you the stock system, or we can do the premium sound upgrade for another $300. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm financing this vehicle, so what do I care about $300? Sure, give me the premium sound. Or, you know, the car came with an AM/FM radio in it, but if you wanted a cassette player or a CD player, you know, that was an upcharge. And of course, why wouldn't you want that if that was the technology of the time? I know somebody who bought a car, it's probably about 10 years ago now. But they said, well, you know, we include a radio in it, AM/FM radio. We'll even throw in the CD player. And even 10 years ago, this person was like, I don't listen to CDs anymore. And they said, okay, but does it have an aux port or Bluetooth? Oh, no, we can put one in that has those, but that's an extra charge. So just having that capability allowed them to upcharge it. So now they can't say, well, you know, they're making us put these AM radios in here, so we got to charge a little extra for it. It's no extra charge. So obviously I have a vested interest in this because I work for an AM radio station. Of course I want AM radios to be in every car. But I also understand there's probably a good portion of you that never turn the AM radio on in your car or in your home. You can hear us on 99.5 FM and we sound a lot better. You're probably listening to us on FM. Or maybe you stream us on the app because then you can take it with you wherever you go and you don't have to switch from one device to another. You can just keep it going the whole time. Your app you come home, your app connects to your Alexa device at home, plays over that speaker. You bring it into your room, plug it in, that's it. It's your alarm clock, wakes you up in the morning, go back out into the living room, Alexa picks it up, you know, get in the car, your car picks it up, go into the office, your office smart speaker picks it up. I get it. But you still should have that option there. There still should be an AM radio in your car in case of an emergency. If something happens and the internet goes down, you can't hear the important information. If the cell tower goes down, and I remember during those hurricanes that we had, what was it, Sandy? And then there was another one. I can't remember the other one, but there were two that we had where, you know, we lost power. I had no cell signal. I got my information by turning on an AM radio. So it's still a viable thing and still a necessary thing. Even if stores are pulling them off the shelves, good luck going into the store and trying to buy an AM/FM radio. You can do it. You can go into Family Dollar and buy an AM/FM radio. It's not going to be great quality. You can go into Walmart and buy an AM/FM radio. It's not going to be great quality. That's why I have old radios. Because they sound good. They still work. I have a couple of transistor radios that Barry gave me. They work great. Because I can still make that connection even if the power fails, as long as I have batteries. And I think we're finding people are getting back into that. The same way people have gotten back into vinyl. People like hearing something on the radio. As much as they love that crystal clear FM sound on the WBSM app, there's a little something, a little extra charm to having that slight drone of a buzz behind us on the AM radio, you know? But the important thing is, in an emergency, you can run out to your car, which is not powered by the grid, and turn your car on and be able to get that important information. And that's why this bill is so important, and that's why you're seeing this large bipartisan effort to get it through. And when we had Senator Markey on, the rationale of the vehicle manufacturers was just ridiculous. And the fact that they scoffed at the idea of even needing an AM radio. So glad this is moving forward, and I hope they do pick it up, and I hope that they pass it, and I hope that it becomes the law of the land. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. And calls 508-996-0500. You are next on WBSM.
How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
All right. As you were talking about the old radios and everything, I listen to AM every day.
Well, thank you for that.
You know, and you know, I got a CB, and you know, son, I still use my CB, and I still got a couple people we talk about on a CB.
So people are still actively using CBs?
Yep. You know, you talk about old school stuff. The old school stuff still works, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
People don't realize that. That's a survival, you know? Because what happens when we didn't have FM? We had AM only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the AM is the broadcast. I used to listen to Phil. That's how long I used to listen to AM.
Well, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be keeping that AM going, so.
I hope so, you know, because AM is the best broadcast, you know?
Well, I'm glad that you enjoy it.
You know, I do, you know, because when I was small, I used to sit in a barber shop. My father used to take me. I won't say the streets and anything because he passed away, the barber man. And he used to have it on AM, and that's what got me hooked on. Now I'm old enough to keep on listening to him.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening.
Right,
and thank you for the call.
We keep on going. All right.
All right. Take care.
You take it. Bye-bye.
And phones are lighting up. We're going to try and take everybody if we can. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, you know, I just want to touch real quickly about, you know, the older equipment. I guess is the reason I'm calling. You mentioned, you know, AM radios, but I was in regards to the older stuff. I had an older analog stereo system that I packed away in the garage, you know, years ago when I started upgrading my equipment and stuff like that. Recently pulled it out. Just, you know, it had gone through many times, gone out to yard sales, never got, you know, got put back away and everything. Well, I recently retired, and I decided to pull it out and put it in my garage and try to use it. Well, let me tell you something. What a difference. This is like an old, it was like from the 90s. It was a, you know, a moderately priced range type of stereo system. Surround sound. It's got the 5 speakers and stuff, you know, not elaborate. But what a difference in the sound. I haven't heard this thing in, I don't know, 20 years maybe. But what a difference. It just like separates the channels. It's so much different than the sound from these more modern digital type. You know, I got the sound bar on the TV and all that stuff now. And I'll tell you what, I didn't know that I really missed that surround sound effect, you know?
Yeah.
And it really breaks everything up. It's amazing what they did with, you know, the analog, you know, separation and stuff, you know? That old equipment is incredible.
I use a Samsung receiver from the 70s. I have speakers from the 70s, and it's, to me, it sounds better than the stuff that's out there today.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, unless you're paying really, really high prices for the high-end stuff.
Right. The new stuff nowadays, it's got its advantages, obviously. But I'll tell you what, my speakers, there's nothing to write home about. They're tiny little speakers and stuff. But I suppose if I upgraded the speakers, it'd be that much better. But the separation, I was just amazed. I couldn't believe the sound I was hearing going all around me, you know, because you don't get that anymore, I don't think. You know, I mean, you probably could, like you said, if you put the money into it. But no, that's all I wanted to say was how much I guess I just missed that. And I'm glad that nobody bought that for pennies on the dollar at a yard sale in my yard. No?
There you go. All right. Thank you for the call. Have a good day. I got to take this final break. Caller, hang on. If we've got time, we will get to you. But I have to take this break. We'll be right back. And a reminder, even though it is cloudy out, even we're going to have clouds all day today, you still can be thinking about solar. If you're thinking about going solar, Isaacson Solar is the place to call. They are the ones that you can trust. They're going to come and let you know if it's a good fit for your home or not. They're going to give you simple, honest, direct answers to all of your questions. They are locally based. They're right in Fall River. They're not one of these fly-by-night companies that comes in, installs the panels, then goes away. You never hear from them again. They are here to be your partners in solar energy and making sure that it works for you and that it saves you money. So if you want to sign up, visit IsaacsonSolar.com today and get started with solar. All right, let's wrap things up with our final phone call. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Spooky Tim, how you doing?
How you doing?
I want to get back to this AM thing. You know, I don't know if it's like the vinyl where people listen to vinyl today and they say it's a warmer sound. But when I listen to like music on AM, right, it seems, I don't know if it's just nostalgic, it seems to me to be closer to what I remember these songs originally, and brings out different aspects of the music rather than listening to the crystal clear FM. Now, I know you're into this. Is there any truth to what I'm saying?
Well, some people like a mono mix, some people like a stereo mix, and when you're getting AM, you're getting mono broadcast, so you're not going to have things that are as rich. So it's kind of, and a lot of the older music, it was produced to be in mono, not produced to be in stereo. So that's kind of how it makes a difference.
Yeah, in a weird way, it almost sounds better, even though the FM is crystal clear, you know. I don't know, maybe it's just me being nostalgic.
I do think nostalgia does play a big part in it, though.
All right, I know you know about these things.
It certainly does for me when I listen to music. Like, you know, if I, like hearing something on cassette as opposed to CD makes all the difference for me, too. Or on album, so
yeah,
I feel
you. Yeah, well, I know sometimes listening to you, you play a variety of music, and I hear some of the old songs from the past on FM, and it sounds almost totally different than what I remember the sound. It's the same tune, but it sounds almost totally different, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's a song that sounds the same, FM or AM. Hit.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.